We have been moving through in this sermon series the four seasons of God's grace that we can be under in our lives: prevenient grace, saving grace, sanctifying grace, and glorifying grace. We've used a metaphor of four seasons to describe these. Last week, we talked about John Wesley's metaphor of a house. You can also compare these four seasons to a courtship, a dating relationship. Prevenient grace is the dating phase, getting to know each other, your likes, dislikes, compatibility, for the possibility of a long-term connection. My wife and I met way back in high school in geometry class. She borrowed a class registration form from me, stole my phone number off of it, and called me later that week. It's pretty crafty, right? Saving grace, sometimes a moment, but for most of us, this is a gradual process, is the wedding date. For Vicky and I, that's May 10th, 2003, and so this is the date that we said yes to Jesus for the very first time. Now, the date we said yes to Jesus is certainly worthy of celebration and pictures, but there's more. Wait, there is more. God's grace is not a one-time experience where we feel loved, but it's supposed to be an entire lifetime of connection with God, where we learn to love even more. And friends, that is sanctifying grace, the process of growing up and maturing in our relationship with God, just as we should be doing in our own lives and in our own marriages. Glorifying grace, we'll look at next week. It is the grace that carries us from our deathbeds into God's presence in heaven. So today, on this graduation and Pentecost Sunday, let's explore this, wait, there's more, growing up, maturing process of sanctifying grace. God's grace, God's love, provides more than just a way to get to heaven someday, to be made right in God's eyes. But God's grace also provides a way for us to shape us, to change us, to make us more like Jesus in everything that we're doing. Vicky and I cut the cord for cable about 10 years ago. We watch all of our stuff on Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, all of those kind of things. But one of the things that I miss are the late night infomercials. That 5-stack food dehydrator you didn't know you needed until you saw it in that infomercial. The knife that you now need because it cuts through cans, unlike your other knives that can't cut through cans. And that vacuum that can help you pick up all those pesky bowling balls you have laying around your house. Every single infomercial has this, wait, there's more moment where they give you two for the price of one, or they cut something in half. Saving grace is not the end of the story. We can wrongly assume that the Christian life is all about getting to heaven someday when it's supposed to be the lifelong adventure of God, letting God love us so that God can move more of heaven into our hearts and into the world. Following Jesus is not just a ticket to go to heaven, but a wait, there's more. There is so much more than we ever imagined. It's this lifetime process of becoming a fully mature and grown-up disciple of Jesus Christ. In my devotionals a few months ago, the author noted that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is this journey from saving grace to sanctifying grace, from John 3:16 to 1 John 3:16. Now, we know John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That's where we began the walk with Jesus. But it's supposed to grow to look like 1 John 3:16. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. First, we understand, I am loved by God. And then we grow into, I am becoming the love of God. First, we understand, God gives us grace for ourselves. God gives us grace for the sake of ourselves. Then we grow into, God gives us grace for the sake of other people. First, helping people makes us feel worthwhile. And then we grow into, loving people makes them feel worthwhile. First, it's baptism by water, and then it is baptism by fire. That is the move from saving grace to sanctifying grace. Today is Pentecost Sunday. This is the day we celebrate. We remember the Holy Spirit coming on the disciples in power for the very first time, landing on them with flames or tongues of fire, as the scripture says, where Peter gives a sermon and more than 3,000 people join the church in one day. That same spirit is active and alive and moving in the world, in our lives today. The same spirit wants to clean house in us and in our minds, to transform our behaviors, to give us courage, to make bold moves, to live more and more like Jesus wants us to live. That's the poetically named baptism by fire that comes after the baptism by water. Our calling and our charge is to grow beyond adolescent faith, to grow up into the maturity of love. And that happens as we embrace sanctifying grace. When one generation of people shows this maturity of love, that they're pursuing Jesus and sanctifying grace, it will make younger generations take the first step. It will make younger generations say, yes, I want to follow Jesus in saving grace. Now, there is one problem, there is one hindrance in us following this sanctifying grace, growing more fully in love. It's you and me. There is an old self inside of every one of us that resists any change that this new self, Jesus, is trying to grow inside of us. Paul, the church planter and evangelist, he put it this way: I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Anybody ever felt this way before? I want to do what is right, but I just can't? I have. This is Paul, one of the best missionaries the world has ever seen, authentically sharing his human nature with us. In the struggle inside of himself, and all of us that want to do what God wants us to do, we have all been in Paul's shoes. So what's the solution to this desire in us, to resist this grace of learning to love God more fully? In Paul's day and various points in church history, the solution is just to give in to the sinful nature. Stop at saving grace. To use Jesus as a ticket to get to heaven, and that's it. To give up on the weight, there is more sanctifying grace. Our Methodist branch, our Methodist flavor of Christianity, has roots with Pastor Jacob Arminius. Jacob's parishioners at his church told him that they could keep doing whatever they wanted to do because they were forgiven. God knew what they were going to do anyway, so why not just enjoy life and keep on sinning like they always have been doing? Jacob was not a fan of the solution. Paul was not a fan of the solution. Should we keep on sinning so God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? There is another power at work in our lives and in the world to resist the sinful nature inside of us that seeks to separate us from God and each other. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus tells everyone, don't stop at saving grace. Wait, there is more. More grace that I want to give you that has the power to completely transform your life, all of your behaviors, all of your patterns for the better. The book that we based this series upon puts it like this. Salvation is when our souls, they are restored to wholeness and health, so we are finally free to love God. That is what saving grace does. That is what saying yes to Jesus does the very first time. And then we start to love God freely, to love others freely, and to love ourselves freely. That is sanctifying grace. It's the transformation we experience to learn to love God fully, to love self fully, and to love others fully. It is this growing up process. Remember when you were a kid and you just couldn't wait to be a teenager? My kids are having those moments. Remember when you were a teenager and you could not wait to be an adult and to make all your own choices? And remember when you were an adult and you wanted to be a kid again? Okay, everything but the last one. Sanctifying grace is God's invitation to grow up. It's a step into God's, wait, there is more, character-shaping love. Now, we can put ourselves into a place and a condition to respond well to God's character-shaping love. One seminary professor wrote, grace plus our response equals growth. We don't do anything to earn our salvation. We respond. We respond to all of God's incredible grace and love in our lives. And it's that response and God's grace that leads us to grow and to mature to a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was writing to this to the people in Ephesus, letter to the Ephesians. The first few chapters, Paul is just celebrating God's incredible, amazing grace through Jesus, dying on the cross for our sins, raised up to new life so he can be a relationship with God. Paul experienced amazing grace, and he was compelled to respond. Now we find the first of two ways that we can open ourselves up to God's, wait, there is more, sanctifying grace. This is Ephesians 3:14-21. Paul writes, "My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. God can do anything you know, far more than you can ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us." I love this part of the paraphrase. God can do anything you know, far more than you can ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. And how does God do that? Not by forcing himself into our lives, but by working gently and deeply inside of us as we make time to experience more of God's grace. The first way, we open ourselves up to love God and we let God love us even more. We open ourselves up to that love. And this is how we do it. Just as we get to know our family by spending time with them on a daily basis, friends, it is the same way with our relationship with God. The only way we get to know God is to spend time daily, focus time with just God and you. So often the struggles in our spiritual lives come down to the question, when was the last time you spent time with God? Has it been ages since you've prayed, been in a life group or a class, worship, or Christian community? It should not surprise us when we feel far from God, when we do not do the very things that cause us to be close to God in the first place. Just like we feel far away from our friends when we don't spend time to call or text or snap or whatever the latest thing is, we feel far away from God. We don't spend time with him. I found this statement from the book from our series incredibly piercing. If you cannot tell me what God has been doing in your life in the last 30 days, I question whether you have a relationship with God. Oh, that is good and direct and hits you upside the head where it matters. If you cannot tell me what God has been doing in your life for the last 30 days, I question whether or not you have a relationship with God. Yes, it is great that you experienced God years ago when you were in high school. Yes, it is great that that camp in college really mattered. Yes, it is great that sermon 2 years ago really impacted your life. But what about today? What about last week? What about the last month? That Holy Spirit that caused Pentecost to happen is still working in the world in our lives today. God is still speaking to us today. Are we listening to what God is challenging us, urging us to do? What is God teaching you? Where is God healing you? Those disciples that are living in a sanctifying grace, they can easily answer what God has been up to in their lives over the last 30 days. So in the midst of this series, I find God reminding me almost daily that my value, my worth, does not come from what I produce or achieve. I am a high-achieving personality, and I can easily place my value into the success or failure of this project, that class, that sermon, you name it. God has tried to speak this into my life before repeatedly. I also have to have a thick head, and apparently he's got to tell me things over and over and over again. With so much activity that we've got here at Legacy, a building expansion, a capital campaign, supporting a second campus, looking to do more with our online reach, I can easily fall into the trap of finding my worth in activity and achievement. So throughout this series, during my devotional time and prayer times in my office, I keep hearing the Spirit say, there is nothing you can do to make me love you more, and there is nothing you can do to make me love you less. I am loved by God because I am a child of God. Everything I do is a response to that fact. Whether it succeeds or fails, I am still a child of God, following in the way of Jesus. Amanda, our connections director and the Legacy writing team, is taking up the challenge to give us devotionals for our sermon series all year. Take just a few minutes. You've been getting them all month. Take just a few minutes this week and spend time each day with God to listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to heal in you, wants to teach you, direct you towards. The team is giving us tools with every series to help us spend time with God, to open ourselves up to experience more of God's love and grace. Friends, God is not done with us when we say yes to Jesus for the very first time. It is only the beginning of a life transformed. Using the Legacy Devos, it is a great way to spend time with just you and God. Here's another four-step method you can use daily to help learn to listen to the Spirit. And this comes out of the book for this series. First, you need to carve out a time. You need to carve out time daily to meet with God. Don't try to carve out a whole hour. Start with a few minutes. And if you grow to a whole hour, that is fantastic. Second, as you prepare to read Scripture, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, show you the places where you need to learn, to speak to those places that you are really hurting. Third, read the passage that you plan to read. You can use the Scriptures that are in our Legacy Devos, or if you have never read a book of Scripture before, start with the book of Luke. And quantity is not important. It's not necessary to read a whole chapter. Read just a few Scriptures. You could read three verses in, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and strikes you in some way. Quantity is not important. Last, follow the SOAP method for reflection. It's this. S is Scripture. So what word, verse, phrase, or concept, what's jumped out at you? What is the Holy Spirit highlighting for you? What Scripture are you being called towards? O is observation. What do you note about this verse in its context? Who are the characters? What's happening around it? What's happening in the world around them? A is application. What's the takeaway? How am I now going to live differently because I spent just a few minutes processing this verse? And P is prayer. You close your time out with the Holy Spirit, asking God to make this lesson that you've learned come alive today. God's even more grace comes alive as we spend time with the Spirit, just like we do any other friend or family member. The power, the life change, and transformation that can come from this daily practice is incredible. According to research, the number one predictor of spiritual health is reading your Bible every day. Reflecting on Scripture is the most powerful spiritual practice to help people move forward in their love for God and their love for others. People that read their Bible daily, that they pray, they write in their Bibles, because yes, that is okay, they soar in their faith. They grow in their weight. There is more grace that God wants to teach you and learn about. So we can open up ourselves up to God's love more fully as we spend time with God in Scripture, in prayer, in worship, in classes, in life groups, in community. We can also open ourselves up to God's grace through healing. Jesus' ministry is said to have three parts. Preaching, he was declaring the kingdom. He was teaching, he was explaining the kingdom. And healing, he's demonstrating the kingdom. Jesus healed any and all kinds of diseases, including broken bodies, emotional distress, casting out demons, and even raising the dead. Jesus' kingdom includes any kind of healing you can imagine. We learn in Saving Grace that Jesus not only wants to save us from eternal separation from God, but wait, there is more. Jesus wants to save you here and now today. Jesus wants to heal you of any and all behaviors and patterns that lead you into destructive habits in your life. Jesus not only wants you to go to heaven, but to get a bit of heaven into you and the world today. God's healing in our lives will definitely include time with God's word, in God's presence with God's people. But depending upon the destructive habits or addictions we've got, it can absolutely include accountability groups, AA, NA, counselors, therapists, medical personnel, all of you, everyone, in any physical and mental and emotional healing profession, you are demonstrating the kingdom of Jesus as you seek to bring healing to people on so many different levels. Now, for some of us today, your next step this week, your challenge from learning God's even more sanctifying grace wants to bring you healing, maybe to visit a counselor, to visit a therapist, to join an AANA group, to find a Celebrate Recovery area, to begin and sustain the healing Jesus wants to do in you. Remember, Jesus wants not only to save you from eternal separation from God, but also here and now, today. We open ourselves up to God's, wait, there's more grace as we spend time with God and as we pursue healing in our lives. And there is a second way we can open ourselves up to God's even more grace. Over the years, I've caught a few episodes of Undercover Boss on CBS. This is that show where the huge CEO goes undercover as a really low-level employee. He meets some employees, he learns some things, he makes some changes, and he makes some changes in the company, as well as usually changes a few of the employees' lives that he or she has gotten to know. It's typically some nice, feel-good television and includes over-the-top drama, because that's what reality television does. But the authors of the book for this series noted, Undercover Boss, is this not exactly what God does for us in Jesus? God puts on the disguise of a human being as Jesus Christ, coming into our ordinary, everyday, messy lives. Jesus eventually reveals himself as our Savior. He forgives our sins, all the mistakes, all the times we've messed up through his sacrifice, overcoming death, so we simply pass through death and presents us to the Father as perfect. So how do we respond to that kind of incredible and amazing grace and love? Our response should be to love others even more. Paul, writing to that church in Ephesus, reminds us of this in Ephesians 4. In light of this, God's amazing grace and love, here's what I want you to do. Well, I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master. I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road that Jesus, God, has called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around in your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not with fits and starts, but steadily, pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You are all called to travel the same road in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. Paul is locked in prison, and he is challenging those Christians at Ephesus to pour themselves out in acts of love for the world. Everyone needs to learn about the amazing grace God has for them, and everyone participates and gets to work to show it by sacrificing for other people. We can experience God's, wait, there is more sanctifying grace as we love others. Kermit reminded us a few weeks ago of the maximum. There are two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why. We followers of Jesus exist to love God, to love others as we love ourselves. That's why we're here. We work it out differently. We work it out uniquely because we all have a different mix of gifts and talents and abilities and likes and dislikes. And we don't do it perfectly. But every time we try and we live and we learn and we practice, this reality of God's weight, there's more grace driving us forward to love all. Loving all means we love people we don't agree with, who don't love us back. People that are different than we are, that might persecute us, people that are our enemies. It means we must love and forgive and share God's amazing grace even with, quote, that person. We all have our lists of that person, and likely we're on somebody else's list of that person. Our charge, our reason to exist is to love others in the hopes that one day they will choose to accept God's saving and sanctifying grace just as we have, so they'll be transformed by the Holy Spirit just like we continue to be transformed today. Friends, the reality is, and the good or the bad news for the graduates among us, is that we never stop learning. We never stop growing. We never stop maturing. We celebrate with all of our grads today, but know that God has never done encouraging us to love others even more, to pursue what needs to be done for our healing, to spend time with God in worship, in scripture, in study, in prayer, in community. Every single one of us is lifelong learners in the way of Jesus, challenged to never stop until we meet Christ face to face. May we go and let God love us even more as we love others even more. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we ask you to fill us today so we can respond to God's even more sanctifying grace. As we carve out time in worship, in scripture, in prayer, and practice of loving other people, we love others so they may come to know the saving and sanctifying grace of Jesus that we have found. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. The ushers are now going to come to receive the morning's tithes, gifts, and offerings. You can drop your Connect card in there as well as we sing our final song together.